Good evening out there in Radio Land. I am your host, Pastor Tiara Hawthorne, along with Prophet Demetrius Hawthorne, and you're tuned in to God Chasers Ministries radio broadcast, where we're seeking God's face like never before. Keep it locked right here for an anointed, heart-penetrating word from the Lord.
Hello, we're God Chasing Ministries, and we're seeking God's face like never before. I'd like to thank Jesus for another opportunity to come forth to bring you the wonderful plan of salvation. We're going to have Pastor Tara Hawthorne come forth with the word. Before she comes forth with the word, I just wanted to speak with you in regards to what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to accomplish in regards to our walk here on earth. We're here for pretty much a vapor, for a moment in time. But while we're here, we need to occupy, and we need to do some things. We need to do some things for Christ. It's not about you. It's not about what you're trying to do in regards to trying to accomplish things in regards to your most important. What I'm trying to say is your most important task is what you do for Christ. That's the only thing that's going to last. Everything that you do for Christ will last. In regards to this, I also wanted to go into Philippians and to speak in regards to what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel, speaking the word of God, compelling men and women to come to Christ. Not only that, we also are supposed to be using the gift and talents that Jesus has given us for the uplift of your kingdom, the uplifting of the kingdom of Christ, and turn the kingdom of Satan down. And in order to do that, we must realize that this is not popular. This is not a popular situation. This is not a popularity. You're never going to win a popularity contest in regards to doing this. And you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for the name of Christ. If you're doing the will and purpose of Christ, people are not going to like what you're saying because they're the adversary. The adversary is going to resist. And it may resist for a little while. And then as you use your gift and talent, you could compel them, the ones that are resisting, to come to Christ. But in Philippians, the first chapter, it speaks about this. For the 8th verse says, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ, that I pray that you love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for furtherance of the gospel." And he's talking about the suffering that he has had occurred in his life. And it turned out to be a good thing. But he suffered for the name of Christ. And we should arm ourselves likewise. Christ suffered, the disciples suffered, and we're going to suffer for the name of Christ. But we need to still go forth and do the will and purpose of Christ. We still need to come and go and compel men and women to come to Christ. We still need to use the gift and talents that Jesus has given us. And we still need to not be on the sideline, but be on the battlefield and be about our Father's business. Our Father, and our who is Jesus, came and he paid the supreme sacrifice for us to be in the positions where we are right now, allowing, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into the right direction that we need to go. But we must allow ourselves to surrender to the will and purpose of Christ. That means we need to get on our knees. We need to pray and seek after righteousness and seek what we need to do. Say, Lord, what we need to do in our lives. But that requires a little knee-nology. You need to be on your knees. You need to pray. You need to pray in the spirit. You need to take time out to actually speak to the Lord and communicate to the Lord. And this requires a commitment. This requires a commitment to basically do this. And this requires you to get in your head that, hey, it's not me. It's Christ that lives inside. So what does it matter if I suffer? What does it matter if I go through these circumstances, these situations? Christ did it. I can do the same thing. And that's why I have the Holy Spirit. But if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, then I'm sorry. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. All right. Without any further ado, we'll have Pastor Terrell to come forth with the word.
Amen. And I thank Prophet for being obedient to the will and purpose of Christ. I'm going to be in Psalm. I'm going to be in chapter 34, and I'm going to be in verses, start with 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and deliver them out of all of their troubles. And the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones, and not one is broken. Even evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and not one of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And that is the word of the Lord. Now, prophet made mention about troubles and about things that we're supposed to do to go forth to do the will and purpose in Christ. But we have to make sure that we are on the right side and that we're doing the will, that we're persecuted if we suffer, that we're suffering for righteous sake. Okay, the Bible says in verses 17, it says the righteous cry. Okay, now for 400 years that the Lord had the children in slavery, he said he came down because he heard their cry. But many people are going through things, and the Lord have opened up doors to them for them to be troubled so that they will surrender to the will and purpose of Christ. But at the same time, the troubles that come forth, they're not crying out to God. A righteous cry with the Lord can't deny. Is there one that will cry a cry that the Lord will hear? A cry that the Lord will not deny. What happened to the brokenness? The Bible says that the Lord is near unto them that have a broken heart and save such as be as a, of a contrite spirit. And then in Isaiah chapter 61, the Lord says, I am anointed and I come forth that I'm coming to mend the broken hearts, to set the captives free. The Lord said he would do that. But will you surrender your heart to the Lord to do his will so that when the troubles come, you will call out to him, you'll cry out to the Lord and he will hear you and then he will deliver you. But many people are going through troubles and it's not for righteousness. You're not, it's not putting you down on your knees to humble yourself at the foot of Christ, but you just rather suffer in sin and suffer in unrighteousness. And then you come up with this victim mentality when Jesus wants to be the Savior. He wants to be acknowledged as the Redeemer of your life. That's why he said, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. But will you surrender to the will and purpose of Christ? And then when we go back to Elisha, there was a woman that had been a wife of the son of the prophets. And he commanded her because she had nothing left and there was all of these debts. And they were willing to come and get her two sons. And so she had called upon the prophet Elisha and said, help me because my husband, who is now dead, he was a faithful servant. And so can you give me a remedy? And then he had commanded her to go and collect all of these empty vessels. And there is a reason why you are empty. There is a reason why the Lord have emptied you out of all of yourself so that he can fill you. So he sent her to go and collect all of these. He said, not a few. Go and collect all of these empty vessels and borrow, not a few, any that you can find. And so we had all of this collective emptiness to go and collect all of these empty vessels. But how can Jesus fill something that's full already? How can he pour upon something that doesn't need him, that doesn't desire him? You're already full of this thing, that thing, worldly things. How can he pour upon you? And see, it's the anointing which breaketh the yoke. And the Lord have a desire to anoint his people so that they are not yoked down in bondage. And even the prophet made mention even in Ephesians. But guess what? The Bible talks about being not what? Bound again and in bondage again. So we have the ability to go forth and in the power and authority and the anointing of Christ Jesus and to go forth to heal and deliver and set captives free. But who will go forth and do the will and purpose of Christ? And who will stand in this evil day like Jesus has said? And it's a funny thing that Jesus could do something so simple as say, go and preach the word. But I have anointed you. I've called you. Go forth and compel men and women to come to Christ. Just so simple. I'm your redeemer. I'm your deliverer. I'm your savior. And then somebody else come up behind you and say, God, contrary. And but you'd rather believe the contrary than believe what the word of God said. The Bible says that you're healed. The Bible says, by my spirit, all things will move and have its being. The word of God, he told you and he promised you. It's funny thing that when you go to these ministries out there, they tell you all sorts of the things about the Holy Spirit, about the blessing plan and all this, but they don't tell you about the surrender plan. They'll tell you got to surrender completely to the will and purpose of Christ and that you can't have one foot in the world, one foot out in the church. They'll tell you that part that you have to repent. Some people, the prosperity preachers, they don't always preach repentance and that it's the blood of Jesus that will never lose its power and that it's because of Christ Jesus that he is not too high, that he is not touched by our infirmities. Okay, and it's in Ezekiel. I want you to go back and read Ezekiel chapter 7, where the Lord said he was broken. So we're experiencing brokenness, but he was broken first. Everything that's happened to us is nothing new under the sun. Jesus has set the standard for all of these things that we're going through. He was broken first, long before we could even be broken. He was broken. He said, I'm broken. I am broken. You broke my heart with your whoredoms. With your lies, with your false wonders, with your false expectations. While in the meantime, we expect him to fulfill his vow. But we made a vow to the Lord. We said, Lord, I want you to be my redeemer. I want you to be my savior when it's convenient. That's what we say with our actions. And we expect Jesus to follow through with his promises. Because the Bible tells us that his promises are not yea and nay. But they're all his promises are yea and amen to us. And we grasp a hold of that word so quick. Because it's good. He said, I'll withhold no good thing from them that love him and called according to his purpose. Yes, we know these scriptures, but nobody wants to say we're going to humble ourselves and we're going to turn and repent from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and heal the land. Where's the repentance? The repentance is missing. And we do things as if it's okay. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, he said, you approach me as if you're in righteousness, as if you're, in a nutshell, as if your flesh, your ways, as if they don't stink in his nostrils. We approach as if surely we're righteous, but not in a humility like we know that it's only because of Christ Jesus dying on the cross that we're able to come boldly in the first place. It's because of his death on that cross that we can even approach at his throne. We take for granted the fact that we're Gentiles and we have a Gentile mentality. If we took away that cross, we're lost. And we're filthy rags, and some people have forgotten about that. And we take the cross and we use it like it's a credit card when it's convenient, when it's necessary. And then you walk in self-righteousness when everything is going fine. But he said he desires that we humble ourselves at the foot of Christ and do his will. To his purpose and recognize that to be redeemed and to be redeemed by his blood means to be purchased. It means we're no longer our own. So we belong to him. And so even in this scripture, if we go back to Psalm chapter 34 and verses 11, it says, come, you children. So we have to even to get to the kingdom. The Bible tells us we must come in as children. And he says to come. He bids us to come as children. And he says, hearken unto me. He'll listen unto me. And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And we need teaching to fear the Lord with the reverent fear and recognize them that have rule over us and to have a conscience knowing that Jesus and his authority is all powerful and that his Holy Spirit is enough. Some people operate like his Holy Spirit is not good enough when that same spirit is the spirit that have flung the sun and the stars and the moon, have created man and woman, has built all of these foundations. And the nerve of us to say that, you know, with our actions that the Holy Spirit is not enough. That it's not enough to heal, to deliver, to set free. And then we come together. He says, I'm done with your solemn assemblies because it's not in righteousness. It's not in faith. Faith is what moves the Lord. Okay, if it's not in faith, then he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth because it's not in the true belief. And many people have put the enemy up and put Christ down. And so if your actions are exalting themselves above the knowledge of Christ, how can we really think in our little heads that the Lord Jesus is going to be a part of that? How can you think that he's going to be in the midst of that and then he's going to heal you? He's going to heal the land. And then when you're struck with this or with that and troubles, and then even then you're still not humble enough to call unto Jesus a righteous cry. A righteous cry means that your heart is crying to the Lord in surrender and say, Lord, I messed up, but I know that I've got to put my flesh under subjection and recognize that it's you who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's because of your blood. It's nothing that I can do but surrender to your will. And then that is the fear of the Lord, recognizing that Jesus is the head. And because Jesus is the head, that's why you're the head. Because Jesus is the first, the last, and the beginning and the end. That's the reason why you move and have your being. It's because of him and his favor upon your life that he decided to pour his Holy Spirit. Because he decided to make his death on the cross a personal thing for you. That is the reason why you operate and move and go forth to do your will and your purpose. And it's because of his grace and his mercy that you're not consumed. When you have that type of mind frame, then you're able to cry up unto the Lord and have a heart of surrender. But if we don't surrender soon, then we'd be left and then we'd be trying to pick up the pieces and he's gone, because the Bible does say, be watchful and pray, because if you do not, he will be coming as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. We read that scripture so many times, but who will hear and who will obey the will and purpose of Christ? That he is not slack with his coming, but that he comes that all will come to the knowledge of him and repent, so that you are not left, because there is a tribulation period that he does not want any of his people to have to be left behind. But you have to read these scriptures, and so many people, they think they're saved and they're not. And hell is real. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And once you get down there to that pit and you take your last breath, there's no coming back from that to say, oh, Lord, forgive me, send me back. Let me tell my brother. Let me tell my sister. It's over. If they didn't listen to Moses, if they didn't listen to the prophets, and if they didn't listen with patience and with long-suffering and with gentleness, then who will hear? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is enough to compel and persuade men and women to come. Either they're going to have their hearts turned to God or they're not. And that's the word of the Lord. Until next time, may God bless you.
Well, saints, our time has come to an end, but we thank you so much for joining in with us as we've been seeking the face of God like never before. We encourage your prayer requests as well as your praise reports. Visit us on the web at www.godchasersministries.org. Until next time, God bless you.